Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, on your Dindi country, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Right, we're going to catch over yarn now with our daily sister, Alex Hohe, Mara Law, and talk about Supply Nation and the work that's happening there. On the line, Alex, good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning, Uncle Trav. I'm good, thank you.
Good, darling. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
I'm a proud Murray Island woman from the Eastern Islands of the Torres Strait, currently working down on Turrbal Country in Brisbane.
Yeah, beautiful. So we're talking about Supply Nation. Give us an introduction to Supply Nation, please.
Sure. So Supply Nation is an independent body that brings together Indigenous businesses with procurement teams from government and corporate Australia. And basically, its aim is to facilitate relationships that can diversify the market and support Indigenous businesses in accessing procurement opportunities.
So what are the benefits if you're an Indigenous business to be part of Supply Nation?
So as an Indigenous business, if you've got 50% or more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander ownership, you can register for free as a supplier. And you can go down on the business directory. And the business directory is a resource that procurement teams can access when they're looking for suppliers. And essentially the next step is you can become Supply Nation certified, which is a little bit more in-depth. Mm-hmm. And becoming and maintaining certification, it needs an audit process. And to do that, you need to be 51% Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander owned and controlled. And basically, whether you're Supply Nation certified or registered, the Supply Nation members, who are the government and corporate bodies, they can then access the list of those businesses and they're encouraged to use those within their procurement processes. So it can be a relationship that's beneficial for both sides.
Yeah, and it becomes like a marketing arm, so to speak, for your business, you know, and the fact that you're at the table and, you know, you've got a foot in the door, it can open up opportunities and it's good business networking as well, I like to think.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely creates that platform that might not otherwise naturally sort of exist.
And we're talking about a deadly black organisation there, black company, black business, Mara Law. Is Mara Law certified?
Yeah, so Mara Law, we're a Supply Nation certified supplier. So being 100% Indigenous owned and operated, and we have been since our early beginnings, so we've been Supply Nation certified since then. And seeing as we've been in it for a long time, we're very proud to have been named 2021 Certified Supplier of the Year.
Oh, too diddly.
Yeah, that was exciting. That was a big step for us. And we also had our principal lawyer, Leah Cameron, who was named Supply Nation's Businesswoman of the Year in 2021 as well.
And you weren't looking at any awards. You were just looking at a network or a platform to promote Mara Law. And here you are kicking goals.
Yeah, it's exciting. No, definitely you go in for the network, but the awards and the award night is a fun perk.
Yes. So how do businesses meet one another as such?
So basically the best way is by being on the register, and the procurement teams, they can see your info and they'll reach out to you directly. But another great event, another deadly event, is the Supply Nation Connect Trade Show, which is a trade show of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander businesses. And I was lucky enough to attend that one in Sydney this year. Good. And Mara Law, we had a stall there, and while I was there, it was great to get around and see all the different businesses, all run by blackfellas, and it was a really inspiring event.
Yeah, fantastic. So what kind of stalls did you see?
So our mob are doing all sorts of things you wouldn't believe. We had mob there selling art, we had construction teams, we had consulting firms, Uncle Charlie was selling popcorn, we had cyber security teams, so it's not just for professional services, it really is in any area. There's so much going on, and we have blackfellas in every area that you can think of. One thing I'll say is after Supply Nation, it's a great time to be a black business.
Oh, beautiful. So what do I do if I want to become a Supply Nation registered or certified?
So if you are interested, you can head over to the Supply Nation website, and there are steps there on how to do it. And if you wanted support in becoming Supply Nation certified, you can give me a call at Mara Law, and we can help you with the process.
Oh, fantastic. Alex, once again, Mara Law. Who is Mara Law?
Mara Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm. We specialise in Indigenous land law and commercial law. And if you need advice, you can call us on 4041-3088.
And Supply Nation, Mara Law, is a Supply Nation winner. You could say that too.
I suppose.
Look, big shout out to the team there. And you've moved from Cairns to Brisbane with Mara Law. How are you enjoying it down there, sister?
Yeah, it's cold down here, I'll say that. But other than that, it's been a really good move.
Yeah, fantastic. So Mara Law, based in Cairns, Brisbane and Tasmania, is that right?
Yeah, Cairns, Brizzy, Tasmania and also Melbourne.
And Melbourne as well. You guys becoming like a franchise, like a KFC.
Growing the footprint slowly.
Too deadly, my sister. Thank you very much. And big shout out to the team and also the principal lawyer, the owner there, to Leah Cameron. Big shout out to her as well. And thank you for sharing, Alex.
Awesome. Thanks, Uncle Chef.
Take care, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. That's Alex Hawhey, and she's with Mara Law. And we're just talking about Supply Nation and the beautiful network and how you can promote your business being a part of that network and win awards as well, as what Mara Law has done. So that's fantastic. A great opportunity to get your name out there, to network with other black people in business. And it just gives an opportunity where we can all rise together. You know the old phrase, high tide rises all ships. So we need to get it together, people. Fantastic opportunity. Supply Nation, do check it out. And thank you very much, Mara Law. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. down city streets I would roam. I had no bed, I had no home. Crawled out of bushes early morning, used newspapers to keep me warm. Then I'd have to score a drink, start me up, help me to think. Down city streets I would roam, use my fingers as a comb. In those days when I was young, drinking and fighting was no fun. It was daily living for me. I had no choice, it was meant to be. Down city streets I would run. Children of my own. Now I have something I call my own. These are my children, and this is my home. I look around and understand how street kids feel when they're put down. Down city streets I would roam. I had no bed, I had no home. And there was nothing that I owned. Use my fingers as a comb. City streets I would roam. I had no bed, I had no home. And there was nothing that I owned. Use my fingers as a comb.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
it on your mouth. It's me, Bush Takabanji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Darkness came a stranger's hand. Was a wild, kudachi man. I said, Governor, why don't you just leave me alone? And I was just on my way home. I didn't worry about the prickles in the sand when I was chased by Walker Dutchie Maine.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindji country, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Vincent Ligari Memorial Lecture to be held on Gurindji Country for the first time. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Daily Brother Thomas Mayer, and he's the union official and advocate for the Uluru Statement from the Heart. On the line, Thomas, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trendy Trev. I'm good, brother.
Good, brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm a Torres Strait Islander, Kokagul and Arabumle, and Aboriginal Kararag man.
Beautiful. Deadly Footprint. Big shout out to the mob there, TSI. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about the Vincent Ligari Memorial Lecture to be held on Gurindji Country for the first time. And that's got to be powerful for the TOs there in more ways than one.
Yeah, it's a great honour to be invited to deliver the lecture on country for the first time. Mm. You know, Vincent Ligari was a great leader and you know, he and his people were really courageous in the way that they sparked the movement for land rights, really, and took on you know, the government for equal wages in those times. They were basically slaves.
Well, exactly. And look, we are still fighting in this space as in First Nation people. So any progress forward to any lecture, especially on country, it's got to be a good thing, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for any of the listeners that don't know the story, the Waverill Walk-Off Vincent Lingari led around 200 Aboriginal people off Wave Hill Station. They're only being paid in rations, so slavery, and they had an eight-year-long struggle for what initially was about equal wages, you know, because
yes.
there was a case running the Industrial Relations Commission, and they wouldn't give it to them for 5 years, so they went on. They basically went on strike, and it became a struggle for land rights, which resulted in that iconic moment when Gough Whitlam became the Prime Minister, travelled to country there and poured a handful of land back into Vincent Lingari's
yes.
And set us up for land rights in the Northern Territory.
And Brother Thomas, if you look at that, that was back in 1966, which is not too far away, you know, I mean, the year I was born, and we're talking about stolen wages, so close to us. Here we are in the 21st century.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's the reason why there's, you know, still all these issues is because it was so recent that these things have happened. You know, they're in living memory. And not only that, the massacres as well are in living memory. Vincent Lingari was a child when the last recorded massacre happened on country there. And, you know, so it says a lot about the courage to walk away from that station, you know, to defy the white, you know, livestock companies and to sit on country and hold their ground.
Well, exactly, and to walk away at that time and, you know, fighting for, how you say, equal pay, so to speak, or the pay that should be owed, that could have been in the position of him and the mob being slaughtered. I mean, like, that's the way the government operated back then.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, so it says a lot about the bravery of the mob there. And you know, like the Gurindji community now, they built their own community, Dagaragu, the other community nearby, Kalkarindji, they're really doing well. And so this lecture is timed with the Freedom Day Festival, which is their annual celebration of the courage of their ancestors.
And look, yourself there, Thomas Mayor, you're a passionate and campaigner for the many social justice causes and entrusted with the Sacred Uluru Statement from the Heart, canvassed in 2017 and tasked the and building of people's movement while travelling to communities across Australia gathering support. You've got to be honoured to be holding that hat as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons the Gurindji community invited me to speak there. There's myself and Vincent Lingari's granddaughter, Rosie Smiler. We wrote a book called Freedom Day.
Yes.
The story of Vincent Lingari and the Wave Hill Walk-Off. And, you know, this was a, you know, an exciting project that we did together. And really it tells not only the story of the Wave Hill Walk-Off and that long struggle, but it also tells the story of why the Gurindji people understand the importance of a constitutionally enshrined voice.
Yes.
And the basic way to describe that is that, you know, it's one thing to win your land back and to succeed in that way, but the laws and policies that are made in Canberra affect the way that we are able to live on our land. And so, you know, when Vincent Lingari and his people won some land back, the paternalism of the government, their racism, the way they made policies to obstruct their hopes and dreams of running their own cattle station, for example, you know, we're a very real problem. And
it's still showed in their policies in regarding delivering the land back to the people.
Yeah, well, I mean, particularly the Northern Territory government, the CLP, were really racist towards the Gurindji people, you know, and they were purposely trying to sabotage, you know, the way that they wanted to live on their land. And, you know, a strong, united voice of all First Nations being able to stand up to that sort of thing, to be able to affect policy and legislation is how we can, as Vincent Lingari hoped for, to live on our land our way.
Yeah, fantastic. And look, at the like I said, powerful to have the lecture on country. And a big shout out to the Gurindji country mob there. And thank you very much for sharing, Thomas Mayor. You travel safe, my brother, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you, brother.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, Trev. See you, bud.
A deadly yarn there, beautiful yarn there. That's Thomas Mayor, the a union official and advocate for the Uluru Statement from the Heart. And we're talking about the Vincent Lingari Memorial Lecture to be held on Gurindji country for the first time. And the Vincent Lingari Memorial Lecture like I said, held for the first time on the country, birthplace of Aboriginal land rights in the heart of the Northern Territory. So, look, a very significant movement there, and fantastic for the TOs to have the lecture on their country. Big shout out to them, Mob. Have you saying Yanup Strong here on National Talk Black, Too Deadly. National Talk Black, 1 hour program, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Monday to Friday, here on in Queensland, at in Cairns, on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, with your host, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Ready for your yarns, you mob, Too Deadly.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20, Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, the National Indigenous Art Fair, Overseas Passenger Terminal, The Rocks in Sydney, happening this weekend, launching a NAIDOC Week. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Peter Cooley, CEO of First Hand Solutions Aboriginal Corporations, on the line. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Yeah, I'm great, mate. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based down there at Coles, Sydney. I'm up here in Cairns, North Queensland, brother.
Oh, yeah, sounds like you've got the good weather up there. We're actually freezing this morning.
Yeah, I'm just tickling you there, my friend, but thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important fair, art fair. Now, the National Indigenous Art Fair, look, it's kicking on this weekend, 2nd and 3rd July, launching NAIDOC Week. This is an annual event, but thanks to COVID-19, a bit of a couple of detours, yes?
Yeah, mate, yeah, look, we've had a couple of really successful years in 18 and 19, but 2021 has been really challenging, and you know, we had to cancel the last 2 years, but last year was even more difficult because we got all the way till 2 weeks before, and then Omicron hit and we had to cancel 2 weeks before the actual event. So that was yeah, really disappointing, but yeah, those things happen, mate, and you just got to, you know, you just got to wear it and you just got to get on and keep things moving.
Exactly. So it's all gung-ho, ready for this weekend coming, 2022. Tell us about the National Indigenous Art Fair and, well, the opportunity for our First Nation come business people to put their art front and centre, and a fantastic event showcasing their beautiful art.
Absolutely, yeah. The fair supports remote Aboriginal communities, the art centres, you know, to come to Sydney to join in and be a part of the Sydney marketplace. There's big demand in Sydney for Aboriginal art, and you know, having these guys come from some of the most remote places in Australia, where, you know, on occasions it takes up to 2 days to actually get to Sydney.
Yes.
You know, that's it's pretty special, and it's a big commitment for a lot of these communities to make such a long journey. But, you know, when they get to Sydney, the bright lights of Sydney, I suppose, you know, it's, you know, people just waiting for the opportunity to actually connect with these remote people and, you know, hear their stories and see their beautiful artwork, because it's, you know, there's not a huge amount of opportunity to do that in the Sydney marketplace.
Exactly. And when we talk about these artists and coming from remote communities as such across the big island, Australia, is there art centres involved that are guiding, nurturing these artists as such?
Yeah, yeah. So the art centre will come over to, you know, showcase the works, but also we like to try and support artists to make the journey as well, because it's a really good thing for artists to be able to see what happens to their art once it leaves communities, and very few get the opportunity to do that. So, you know, we try and support the art centres to make sure they can bring an artist to come across, connect with, you know, the community in Sydney, connect with the wider art world in Sydney, and really be able to learn and earn, I suppose, from the marketplace, and then take those learnings and that knowledge back into community.
And look, it becomes a business platform as well. Artists turning into business. So we are talking profit, we are talking money there, which is great for the artists, and then it just broadens their horizon in the business world, you could say.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it is business, because, it makes, they create products or works, and then they're sold, you know. So it is a business, but, you know, it's an opportunity for those artists to actually be a part of the marketplace and actually learn from it, that they can take those skills back and, yeah, if they wanted to, create their own business in community, or, you know, be a part of the art centre, or even go on to, hopefully, one day run the art
centre. Sure, exactly. So there is opportunities galore for our artists as such, and also shines a light on their community as well. Peter, how long have you been the CEO of First Hand Solutions Aboriginal Corporation?
About 10 years, mate. We were established in 2012. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're 10 years old this year, mate. So, yeah, I was a co-creator of First Sound Solutions and, yeah, was still sort of involved.
And what's your, what is your actual delivery of your services? What do you guys do there?
Well, we do the National Indigenous Art Fair. We do an initiative called the Black Markets, which is an all Aboriginal market here in Sydney. So, that's run sort of here in community at La Perouse, but it's also made its way all around the Sydney marketplace. Good. And that's showcasing our small businesses in arts, crafts and tourism to the wider Sydney public, the wider market. That's been running for about 9 years now.
Yes.
You know, we work with probably around 60 small businesses in that marketplace.
And all different products and produce.
Yeah, all do. I mean, our mob are pretty creative and they're fast learners and they see holes and they fill those holes very quickly, mate.
Exactly.
But we also run a project called Indigigrow. And if any of your listeners are out there, it's just indigigrow.com.au and they can have a look at what Indigigrow is about. But basically, it's a platform we use to be able to, connect our young people to culture and be able to sort of sustain that and create those opportunities for knowledge to be passed down. And it's around native plants.
Yes.
So we run two native plant nurseries and we really do have a heavy focus on our local plants here in Sydney.
We're talking bush tucker then, aren't we, Peter?
Plenty of bush tucker plants. And we do also native bush tucker plants that come from other regions as well, but they're very popular and there's big demand for them. But our real focus is on our local Sydney plants here where, we have a lot of stories, a lot of our culture's tied into those plants and there really is an important connection to country and part of our identity. So,
well, that in itself creates another industry, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And from where we live here at La Perouse all the way through to Sydney Harbour, our plants are actually critically endangered. So, as traditional custodians, we take on a cultural responsibility of reviving those species, but also connecting our young people to them. We have five young local Aboriginal apprentices from the local community working in that. Running the nursery and selling plants through the nursery really does just allow us as knowledge holders to work with our young people and pass on traditional knowledge.
Well, beautiful space there, and thank you very much for sharing and the work that First Hand Solutions Aboriginal Corporation is doing. We focus on this conversation, National Indigenous Art Fair, which does kick off this weekend, 2nd, 3rd July. So any mob in Sydney, drop on over to check out the National Indigenous Art Fair. And where's that being held, my friend?
That's at the cruise ship terminal in Circular Quay, so the Overseas Passion Terminal, and the art fair, and they'll join about 20 something black market stallholders as well. So it's going to be the black markets and the art fair running side by side, and there'll be about 50 stalls that people can come and sink their teeth into some beautiful arts and crafts and all types of things from fashion, kids stuff, right through to bush foods.
Beautiful. Fantastic. So there it is, all happening in Sydney. Thank you very much for sharing, Peter. All the best to your mob, your team there, your family. Stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Thank you, Trevor, for allowing me to share our story on to your listeners.
Beautiful. National Indigenous Art Fair, alive and kicking. Take care, my brother. All the best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there. Peter Cooley, his name is CEO of First Hand Solutions, Aboriginal Corporation, and we're talking about the National Indigenous Art Fair. Thanks to COVID-19, well, it's up and running again and happening overseas passenger terminal, The Rocks in Sydney, 2nd, 3rd July. So that's happening this weekend. So if you're down to Sydney or heading down there for business, or if you're living in Sydney, go and check it out, your mob, and get educated, get enthused, get empowered. Too deadly. Black people in business. Have your say, yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry. Too deadly.